Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Carry them forever.
To you, O Lord,
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus is the Christ.
chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ says, and what he means by it is very clear. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven unless he or she keeps the law of God completely and perfectly. The law of God is not optional. The Ten Commandments are not suggestions, and not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. The Ten Commandments remain in full force for you, O sinner. Either you keep them all perfectly, or you will perish eternally. This, of course, poses a big problem for you. For even when the Ten Commandments are summarized by our Lord and reduced down to just two, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, it's still a huge problem for you because you can't do it. You're not alone. It's been a big problem for humanity since our first parents fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, as we just sung in that beautiful hymn. The scribes and Pharisees responded to this problem by taking the teeth out of the law. They tried to make it doable. They turned the perfect law of God into something they could achieve by adding all kinds of loopholes and building fences around the letter of the law, so that even if they sinned by jumping over some of those outer fences, they would still not be guilty of breaking the actual law. Their answer to the problem of being sinners, unable to fulfill the perfect law of God, was amazingly to add more laws and rabbinical rules to it. Just as amazing, the vast majority of Christians in America to this day do this very same thing. They make the law of God doable by adding all kinds of loopholes and qualifications to it. The way to make sure that you keep the law is to turn the law into your own self-made morality and set of principles. You know the lists that some Christians make? Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't gamble. Don't dance. Don't watch rated R movies. Don't ever say the S word or the other lettered words. Be good. This outer fence that they build is a sham. What you end up with is this. Be a good, decent person. Work hard and mind your own business. Steer clear of the really bad people. Just do your best. And God will overlook all your mistakes. After all, God is love, and he loves everyone no matter what. If he knows you're doing the best you can, that's all he asks for. But this is not at all what our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, teaches us. Again, his teaching is vividly clear. You cannot miss it. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven unless he or she keeps the law of God completely and perfectly. There are no points for doing your best. There are no points for giving it the old college try. He's not grading on a scale so that while you may not be perfect and might make some mistakes now and then, you're at least better than those other people. So it's all good. It's not all good. If you're banking on doing your best, you'll find yourself before the judge, for your accuser stands ready to accuse you. He has since the Garden of Eden. Satan will bring you before the judge and say, "This one thinks that he's doing it, Lord. What do you say?" And if you think you are, you will be handed over to the guard, and you will be put into the prison, And as our Lord says, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny for all of your sins. Repent. Truth be told, you have often viewed Christianity along these same lines. We all have. Thinking that it's about doing your best and having God overlook your mistakes. You have played the comparison game all too often, believing that God must be more lenient toward you because you're not as bad as others. But the law of God minces no words. The law of God says you are as bad as others. You're in the same predicament as all sinners. For you have not loved God above all things, but you have had many other gods that get your love and adoration more than Him. Money, possessions, family, friends, activities, and the list goes on. You have not hallowed His name at all times either, but have taken His name in vain all too often. You have not remembered the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, but you have despised preaching and His word more times than you would ever care to admit. You have not loved and honored your parents at all times. You may not have actually committed murder and killed someone, but our Lord says that if you've ever been angry with your brother, you've murdered him in your hearts. He also says that if you have lust or any sexually immoral thoughts, you are already guilty of committing adultery. You have stolen, you have gossiped, man, do you love some gossip? And you have coveted, wished for things that you didn't have that others do. Dear friends, there's not a single commandment you have kept completely and perfectly. Not even close. Repent. This, dear friends, this is why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is why the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the eternal Word of the Father and Son of God, came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man, as we confess week in and week out. He came not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them, precisely because we don't. He came to keep the perfect law of God completely and perfectly because we can't and don't. He came to be our strength and our saving refuge. He came to be our shepherd and carry us forever. He came to be our rock and our shield, and our help. He came to live the perfect life required of us, and to pay the full price for all of our sins with His holy and precious blood and His sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus came to be our Savior. The scribes and Pharisees couldn't see this truth. They wouldn't see this truth, because they refused to see the truth about themselves and how they compare it with God's law. The same is true of many today. One wonders why Jesus had to come if getting into the kingdom of heaven was simply about doing your best and being at least better than others. Jesus becomes nothing more than an idea for many calling themselves Christians today. He is some sort of spiritual guru or life coach or cheerleader in the mind of many, rooting them on as they strive to be good folk and live their lives on their own terms. Especially today, as you well know, it is popular to make Jesus into someone who loves everyone, no matter what they believe or how they live or who they love. A loving and tolerant God who wouldn't harm a fly or judge anyone or even think about saying anyone was wrong or sinful. That's not Jesus. That's a figment of people's imaginations. That's a Jesus created so that people can coddle their sins and be who they want to be. The real Jesus is God in the flesh, come into our sin-infected world for a purpose. Not only to go to the cross and die, as many who call themselves Christians would readily confess, but before he went to the cross and died, he came to fulfill all the law for you. He came to do what sinners can't do. Not out of some vain glory for himself, but because it is required of anyone who enters the kingdom of heaven that they keep that law perfectly. The real Jesus doesn't wink at your sins or tell you to go ahead and indulge yourself, but he sheds his blood for them. He takes them seriously, dying and spending his last breath for them. And the real Jesus is coming back. He is coming back, as we confess every week, to judge the living and the dead, for all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And here's the verdict. We already know it. We already know what the final judgment is. Here is the verdict. Despite what people don't want to hear, here it is. You're either perfect and spend eternity with him, or you're not and spend eternity in hell. So repent and believe, dear friends in Christ. Confess your sins and turn in faith toward the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is your only hope. He is the Savior and refuge you need. He does love you, which is why he came to save you. And his burden is light. He welcomes all who are weary and heavy laden with sin and from living in this sinful world to come to him and receive rest, to receive grace and mercy and comfort and the assurance of an eternity which will not be filled with this mess that we're in now. He is merciful and compassionate. He longs to save sinners and welcome them into the kingdom of heaven. And he stands ever ready to forgive and renew and restore those who have strayed. For this God, the God who comes in our flesh, the real Jesus, bears his lost sheep upon his own blood-stained shoulders back into the fold of his holy church. Jesus is the answer, the only answer to your dilemma. And in Jesus, if you are in Jesus, you are perfect in every way. In Jesus, you have kept the Ten Commandments completely and perfectly. Only in Jesus can that be said. For in Jesus, you are baptized into his death and raised into his life. His holiness and righteousness clothes you. He died once for all. And those who receive him in baptism, led by the Holy Spirit to the font of grace, live with him forever. But then there's this question. St. Paul asks, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answered, don't be stupid. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? This is where many get confused, for they begin to think, okay, Jesus died for sinners, but now that I'm baptized, I need to stop sinning. How absurd. Good luck. What St. Paul means is that we sinners redeemed by Christ the crucified, having received the sign of the Holy Cross upon our foreheads and upon our hearts to mark us as those redeemed, baptized into his death and resurrection, we live lives of daily repentance and faith. What he means is that we know we are sinners. What he means is that we know that we are sinners whose only hope is Jesus, which is why he ends by saying, you need to consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say, so you also must stop being sinners so that you can be alive to God in Christ Jesus. He says, you must believe it. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus. And here, dear friends, in Christ Church, is where you strive against sin. It's where you cling to Jesus alone for salvation. For here is where Jesus is truly present to save you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and still is flesh, and still does dwell among us. Jesus is here to save you again and again and again. Here is where he cleanses your baptismal garments, which you stain with your sins, with his own holy and precious blood. Here is where he feeds you upon his word and with his very body and blood in the Holy Supper, so that you might receive by grace, from his merciful compassion, the forgiveness, life, and salvation that only comes through him. Here, he declares you perfect and holy and righteous. For here, you are filled with his perfection and holiness and righteousness. Here in his church, in this ark of salvation, where he brings his people in, bearing them upon his shoulders as the good shepherd he is. Here is where you are strengthened in his life and his love and his peace, so that you might leave here and live lives of daily repentance and faith, striving against your sins and striving to be his people in this world. Here is where you are strengthened and preserved so that you might love him and that you might love others as yourselves. That you cannot keep the Ten Commandments completely and perfectly does not mean that you leave here and deliberately and willfully live however you please and fulfill your every fleshly desire. That is not at all what it means to live a life of daily repentance and faith. You should fear and love God so that you strive to do his will as you learned in the Catechism. While Christianity is not a religion of morality and do-gooders, neither is it a religion of license to live however you please, so that you go out and say, man, this year, this is a great deal. I get to do whatever I want, sin however I please, and then simply say the magic words, I love you, Jesus, and I believe in you, forgive me, and all will be well. That is to turn Jesus into your own personal cheerleader, every bit as much as those who think they're able to fulfill the law. Instead, you Christians, baptized into Christ Jesus, strive against your sin. You hate it and fight against it, and you return to Jesus who has conquered it all for you. You strive against your sin and learn and live lives worthy of God's love and compassion and mercy, not because this is how you are saved, but because this is who you are in Jesus. That's the Christian life. Your righteousness in and of itself does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, not even close. But the good news, the almost unbelievable good news, is that you who are in Jesus have a righteousness that does exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, a perfect righteousness that never fails, that always loves, that has fulfilled everything God has commanded. And therefore, in Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whose perfect righteousness covers our sin and whose innocent suffering and death frees us from the prison of everlasting death. By his victory over the grave and the resurrection, we enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. God of all concord, it is your gracious will that your children on earth live together in harmony and peace. Defeat the plans of all those who would stir up violence and strife. Destroy the weapons of those who delight in war and bloodshed. And according to your will, end all conflicts in the world. Teach us to examine our hearts, that we may recognize our own inclination toward envy, malice, hatred, and enmity. Help us, by your word and spirit, to search our hearts and to root out the evil that would lead to strife and discord, so that in our lives we may be at peace with all people. Fill us with zeal for the work of your church and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone can bring that peace which is beyond all understanding. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea. And by a star, you led the wise men to the infant Jesus. Protect and guide all those who travel. Make their ways safe and their homecomings joyful. And bring them with us at last to our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, be gracious to those who are lonely or ill or suffering in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, Marlene Miller, David Gursky, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCullum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Culp, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schaub, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, John Lemmerman, Brandy Bradley, and Kimberly Tolk. Comfort them with your presence. Give them confidence to bear their crosses according to your gracious will. Strengthen them with your holy word in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Giving God, your Holy Spirit draws us to the holy altar of your Son, Jesus Christ, to receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Bless all of us who come to the altar this day for this most holy supper, that we might come in the knowledge that we are reconciled to you through the repentance and faith you work in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Ever-living One, your Son came to fill your people with his endless life. Receive our thanks and praise for all who have died, trusting in his promises. Bring all of your children to the marriage feast of your Son when their last hour comes. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God.
very body of Christ given through you. The very body of Christ given through you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in every baptism of Christ all the days of your life. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.